Hello, I'm Nanadra.
Hi, I'm Abnam.
And we're two hearts in a pod.
Okay, Abnam. Qu'est-ce qui se passe? What are we doing today?
It's time. Oh, God.
Pretend like that was Mariah Carey's feeling.
Oh, God, no. No.
Let me go with the flow. Yes. Squeeze.
You need to be stopped. I'll mute you right now. It's Christmas month. Yay.
Woo-hoo.
Yay. We have so much to talk about.
Yes, but most importantly, it's Christmas. Brunyeba.
The best time of the year.
Yes. Obi Nkase, 24th, Kurukurum.
I'm trying to think of all the music, the Christmas songs I can sing.
Your age is showing.
2 minutes. Sis, my age is showing. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Well, not quite yet, but you know. It's so, December. My tree is going to go up in a few minutes, days. Look, I've been waiting, okay? Every time I walk into a shop and then there's the lights and things, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to decorate the house. So,
I feel like you're wasting time, eh?
Honestly.
And I feel like for us readers, personally, I know that Christmas holds a special place in my heart because Christmas vacation was those times that, you know, you just stay in your room. Like when you don't have family parties and things to go to, you can stay in your room and read.
Yeah.
Like I
so cozy.
Christmas and Harry Potter go together for me.
They go together. Nice.
Yes.
That's so cool.
And then, you know, you watch Christmas movies.
Movies.
You drink malt.
Malt is such a Christmas drink. The flat, oh, girl, malt, flour chips, and for me, grilled chicken for some reason. Home grilled, or not just like grilled, home grilled.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's malt. I'm so
and
malt
cake.
For the longest
time. Was that the malt Christmas of choice. Cake.
That Christmas pound cake.
I can't wait.
I know. And so, then the Danish cookies. I think we need to get some Danish cookies in there, some flour chips, some malt, the pound cake and chicken, and it's a Ghanaian Christmas.
Yes, you are set. You are set. And then when you're a kid, your parents hauling you here and there for Christmas parties. But the good thing about that is, you know, there's food galore. There'll be, you know, a lot of playing with your cousins that you haven't seen all year.
Yeah.
Ah, fun.
Now we are the parents in this equation. Isn't it mad? I read a caption today that it seems like millennials, and it's like a universal thing. Millennials, we were born over 30 years ago. Some of the elders millennials are in their 40s, but we still think we are young in our heads.
Yes.
And it seems to be universal. The post was of a girl born in 2004. Who is saying, I was born in 2004 and I'm having a 2024 baby. She's 19. She's turning 20 next year and she's having a baby. And the people are saying, and the caption was, I was born in 87 and I'm afraid. No, I was born in 91 and I think if I'm pregnant now, it's teenage pregnancy. And the comments were all millennials saying, yes, I'm too young to have a baby. I'm born in 87. I'm too young, 91, too young, 92, too young. We still think about our children.
We never grew up. I don't know. What did our parents do to us?
Right? Is our trauma showing?
So as usual, as romance readers, one of the things we're excited about at Christmas is all the romances set at Christmas.
Yep.
And so this year, this is not, I won't even call it a reading challenge because who wants to be doing challenges at Christmas time? It's supposed to be relaxed.
Yeah, it's a relaxing read.
So, you know, I was just looking for, how do you call it? Black romances set at Christmas time. And mm-hmm. I was having a hard time. And so I decided that, no, I need people to send me recommendations. And then I felt like, okay, let's use a hashtag so that we can track them and read. Mm-hmm. And so I'm tracking my Black Christmas romances. I have the tracker on my Instagram.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I see it. Yeah. 12 books of Christmas. 12 Black Christmas books.
And you all should know that if Nanajwa made this tracker, it would be 100 books.
So I was looking at it, I was like, is that enough space, Abna?
Wow, look.
But 12 is symbolic at Christmas, so we'll allow it.
Exactly. So for you like this, you ask for extra paper. That's fine. You can take, you can use multiples of the same tracker. Because I went to make the mistake. Obviously, we'll do like a countdown of the books we read, our favorites at least. I went to give myself this... I don't even know how to say it. I created a tracker like this for me and Anadra to track the books we read over the year. Madam said, this will be work for me. And I said, oh, send me. You see, I haven't come back to you.
You haven't come back. You've been quiet about.
I said, send me your list. I'll gladly fill it in for you. People. I regret it. When I told my sister, she was like, 16 books a month. And I said, and it's not like you are not like you are still parenting your children. You are still wifing your husband, at least as far as I can see. Maybe I have to ask him. Maybe he'll say husband neglects.
Husband neglects.
She's still doing her work as a lawyer and a whole bunch of other things. Look, sometimes I feel like Nanajwa is busier than me because she has Zuputo, she has poker. We are doing this podcast. What else have I forgotten? Writing, our writing.
Ah, yes, we write.
And she writes more often than I do.
Girl, please. I'm still trying to figure out I don't know. I'll figure it out. And when I do, I'll write a book.
About so how you read.
How I'm doing it. Like, yeah.
Look, you need to hurry up because that book will sell. I'll buy the first copy.
How to read 16 books a month. Click here for the masterclass.
To be very honest, look, let me be your publisher because you make money and then I'll make some of the money. Because, like, even me, yesterday, somebody DM'd me on Instagram that they want to be more bookish like me. I'm like, me?
You're the bookishest bookish person I know, Charlie.
Your own is hidden. People don't know because you don't blog actively about it. People don't know. If you were blogging, Anka, the heart palpitations you'd be giving people.
They'll be tired of me, Seth. And because every day I have a new book for them.
That I have accepted.
I'm not sleeping.
I thank God I accepted that. No, I won't even attempt to compete. I will fail miserably. Look, I'm just saying, I'm glad I accepted that I cannot compete. So I don't even try. I don't try. I just... Anyway, so, yeah. So we'll be tracking some of our favorite Black Christmas romances. And and we'll also do a countdown of our favorites. And we'll probably post it on our IG. Yes. So that if you want book recs for the season and, you know, beyond.
And there's some recs, you know.
You can, yeah. I'll check them out.
Awesome, awesome.
What is next on our agenda for today?
The Dragon Book.
Fourth Wing.
Fourth Wing.
The Dragon Book. There's been a lot of noise about it, especially since the sequel. Mm-hmm. I think the sequel came out in November.
Yes, A Throne or something.
Iron Flame, something. Anyway, I don't really care because I'm not going to read it.
I haven't read it.
But hey, there's a whole buzz around it. But apparently, if you're a fantasy expert, if you've been reading fantasy for a long time, you're bound to be let down. So what our trusted fantasy experts are saying is that it's more like a romance fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But even epic. There, is it?
Sorry, go on.
Ah, were you asking if it's epic?
No, I was asking if it's more that than epic. But carry on, finish your thoughts.
More that than epic, definitely. And then apparently the second book is a letdown.
Yes, so, I think I must have that. Mm-hmm.
Ah, but you sad. Have you read it?
I started Fourth Wing. I was telling you that I started out like in the first chapter. There was no reason for it to stop. I just had something more interesting coming up, and I had planned to go back. But if the book first book is going to end on a cliffhanger, and the second book will disappoint me, then I don't know if I want to put myself through that. But I might still try. Who knows?
Well, I don't know. I feel like when there is so much hype around the book, it puts me off.
Yeah.
Remember I was telling you that even before I let go, if I hadn't already read Kennedy Ryan, it would have put me off. And I still maintain that that is not her best work.
Yeah, honestly. And so I think Rio should have been more popular.
Honestly, but I
mean, it's a traditional publishing thing,
we all know why it's not.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to say it. Yeah, to the point that now, even that one, the sequel has been relegated to the background.
But now that she's getting picked up more and more, like even her backlist is getting picked up.
Yeah.
People are discovering her more now. I think it became more glaring to me, the effects of traditional publishing as well, compared to indie. When we've always known about Kennedy, we've read most of her backlist, and people are now coming to discover her just because she got picked up by trad publishing. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So it's like, it has a really big effect. And the fact that she was indie publishing all those old ones meant that her reach was much smaller, despite having Before I Let Go out, and therefore people should want to go and look for her stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't quite. People are coming to her through August and the Block Shots, Hook Shots series, because those were picked up. But those are books you and I read. Like, as soon as we found out about her and we liked her, we went in.
Yes, and exactly.
It seems like traditional publishing makes a big difference to has made a big difference to her backlist.
Exactly, because you know, a large majority of people. And I don't blame them. They don't want to have to put in work to find they enjoy.
Yeah. And it's so, easier to be available to you, honestly.
Yeah. If you walk into, and because she's an American author, I'm going to use American stores as examples. If you walk into a Barnes & Noble, what you see first, you are more likely to go digging in Barnes & Noble than going to search for an indie bookstore which might have niche authors or indie authors. And, you know, or Target. Target is probably one of the easiest places to even reach outside of the book community, because a a lot of people go there for their groceries and other stuff. And then, you know, they have the book section. So maybe they are passing by that section on their way to the checkout and they're like, that looks interesting. I feel like I've seen this online. And then they just pick it up to try it out. But I feel like for indie authors, it's like underground artists, you know, your fans, they knew you from beginning.
And exactly.
They will follow you. Everything you do, they will inhale it. But those above ground, it takes a bit more.
It takes a while to reach them. That's true.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's traditional publishing. I feel like this feeds right into what we're going to see
the next about thing.
The Goodreads award list. And I don't know. Did you watch that video? Always, until there is change, we will continue to talk about it.
Agreed. I really thought that this year might be different.
Nah. It's always
so I saw that my darling. I know my darling Catherine Center had posted that I've been nominated. Hello Stranger, a book I loved, has been nominated for Best Romance of Goodreads 2023. I was like, of course you've been nominated, Aunt Catherine, ma'am. Duh.
But you know, a lot of people are talking about you on Book Talk. But the one that made me laugh and that I agreed with was the one where she was like, they should just title it Best White Romances.
And I think that's okay. Let's call it what it is. Yes, nobody is saying don't award white writers, but yes, don't alienate the rest of us romance writers just because we are not white or mainstream.
Yeah. And I think I can't remember.
Names are clearly not a mix.
You know the funny thing, do you know, because of her surname, I thought Abby Jimenez was Hispanic this entire time.
I thought so too. And I don't know, she looks like she might be.
Well, I went to look her up. Maybe her spouse is, but she is not.
Right. So she and even her kids have like a look about them I just assume, I haven't looked them up, but her daughter Maya, that she often puts on her Instagram.
So her daughter is probably mixed.
But she herself isn't.
No, not from what I saw.
But to be fair, she writes white romance.
So I mean that makes sense. Because you can be married to someone who's BIPOC, but their experience is not your experience.
It's not yours.
Your children's experience will not be your experience.
Exactly.
But and so that's why somebody like Kennedy Ryan, I feel like she's attractive for the traditional publishing world because she's mixed and so acceptable. You know, she could even pass in certain scenarios, but also I think they like her because she's pro-black enough
to
still give them some authenticity that, oh yes, they've brought a diverse person.
look at you think we are racist, look at our black friend. So
it doesn't hurt that she's an amazing writer.
I'm happy that she's in there. Yeah.
She's opening like the way for others. Yeah. Because she's very vocal about, you know, the BIPOC authors she loves.
Yes,
and supports.
She is. That's true.
So, yeah. And so, you know, when an author like that also shares her own recommendations, people are more likely to pick those books up.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Maybe we should do something. This is just an idea that's coming to me as we are speaking right now. What if we also had I don't know, we don't have as much of a big platform, I suppose, but a Two Hearts. Oh, actually, you already brought it up, the awards, but not just of the books we've read this month. I guess all of our side books, but specifically Black and rather writers of color. And then and we share that and tag those writers that, oh, hey, this is what we thought of these books this year. And like all kind of like Goodreads, but for Black people and specific to the tastes of African readers like you and I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I think when we create the guide, like we can create a guide of Black authors, BIPOC authors we love. So Black, is Hispanic the Latina. Right term? Latinx, you know, Indian,
yeah.
Asian, you know. Yeah.
Sounds authors good. That we've
loved. Yeah. And I think it's even more helpful when you suggest authors who are not as mainstream. I mean, everybody knows Kennedy Ryan, everybody knows everybody knows, and I can't remember her name.
Clearly not everybody
Helen
knows
Huang.
Her.
Helen Huang. You know, yeah, she's Asian and also a rep for the autism community.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but you know, another painful thing is, and you know, there's something I've always discussed in the book club, especially like Black and Spicy, where we read a lot of indie authors, getting their physical books to Ghana is such a pain.
Yeah, because
they're already expensive, and it makes sense because they are trying to make back, like they put in all the work. They are doing the marketing, they are doing the publishing.
All the money, yeah, all the work.
Mm-hmm. So they have to price it in a way that they can make some money, if not a huge profit, at least get their money back. And so it makes the pricing difficult for them. And then when you try to convert to our currency, you remember we read Demon's Dream and somebody wanted a hard copy. It translated to about 300 and something Ghana cedis.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. And so I wish there was a way. I'm still investigating. Maybe something, there'll be a breakthrough and we can make, you know, indie authors' books available in a way that's
already available.
That's, you know, not too pricey for the consumers, but that they still get good money for it. The system.
This, yeah, challenge.
It's like it's really stacked against minorities. And yesterday when I saw that video, I don't spend time on Goodreads anymore. So it was news to me that, you know, it's
awards were going on.
And then when I saw like the screen and it was all white, like it made me so sad. And there were people in the comments who were like, you know, especially content creators who promote Black books, BIPOC books, who were like, somebody was just like, I'm tired. Because it gets to a point, it feels like, why bother? Like,
yeah,
it's like you put in so much work and you don't make a dent.
The thing is, it's kind of like Oscar So White. At a point, is it not time to just kind of, if they want to bring
spaces
us to the table, to just build our own elsewhere?
Exactly.
You know, we can't keep crying and shouting about, oh, they're not recognizing us, they're not, you know, thinking about us as important. Why do we care so, why should we care so much about being validated by a system that wasn't created for or by us?
Exactly.
It's tiring, but and it won't be as important or as big immediately, but we need to start somewhere, you know. And I know there's a Black version, well, not Black version, but there's another reading site like Goodreads, but there's
Storygraph.
Storygraph has awards like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't, and maybe they should start one, and then we should all move there to, you know,
publicize
that, talk about that. And because the more we, you know, rail against Goodreads, the more Goodreads is in the news.
Exactly. So I agree 100%. So maybe they will start doing that more.
Yeah.
And stop you
it's
know,
tiring. Give them more. The system is what it is, but we can stop giving them attention by putting attention on like the one we actually want to promote. And if eventually they see that, oh, hey, that's also cool, maybe we should promote the blacks as well. And they also start promoting blacks. And then we'll just talk about both in that same light.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when they see the profitability of it. Exactly. Because look, the black book talkers I follow, they will read the ebook. They will listen to the audiobook. They will go and buy the book.
Buy the hard copy.
They will buy and give them to people.
Like, and they'll buy the whole series.
Yes. So, like, they're pumping money into, you know, the authors they support. And I think we just need to all start doing that more.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And, you know, so when I see things like that, then I remember I had started A Merry Little Meet Cute. And I was enjoying it. Then I had a sour taste in my mouth. I'm like, maybe I'll finish
reading
this
white
book
people.
After.
Yeah. But in the end, I also still stand by read what brings you joy.
Yes.
Why are they you don't have to go and blog about it. And exactly. You don't have to go and blog about it because then that was your choice. You want to make sure that your space highlights black books and black authors, because A Merry Little Meet Cute does not need you, Abna, for the Wesley Gonde to do anything for them. You know,
honestly,
they are fine.
That's
so
the truth of
highlight
the matter.
Somebody else, but read what moment gives you joy.
Exactly. And that's why I'm always
a book,
like
a good book. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. And we can learn things from all cultures, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially
when we say white people have very little culture, you know? But that's maybe for another conversation.
Low spice. Bland mashed potatoes.
Raisins everywhere.
Raisins in potato salad. Anyway, so like you're saying, for me, for example, due to, you know, the place I find myself in life right now, where like I'm curling a lot of books from my library, not necessarily white authors, but just, you know, I hate seeing books gather dust. And so, you know, I'm always curling my library because I feel like they'll find a happier home somewhere rather than, you know,
just
feeling sad and lonely on the shelf. Abna is not reading us.
Buy them new friends. This is buying them.
So I have a list of like indie authors, like black indie authors whose books I've enjoyed but I read as an ebook, that I will buy like hard covers of when I've created the bookish space I want to create for myself. Just fill my shelves with them, you know? And so, yeah. Oh, man. Anywho. So, yeah, maybe we should be, I'm sure we'll think this through and come up with our own awards or something.
Yeah,
but I think, let me go and research on that. I feel like they did some Black Book Awards on Goodreads. It was started by one of these Black book bloggers. I'm not sure, but
it
I remember something like
vaguely
that.
Vaguely familiar.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we can get on that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, what's next?
So, audiobook narration.
Yes, tell me about that.
Hey, I keep telling you, look, TikTok after midnight is dangerous. There's this book talker, like book blogger, because I follow her on Instagram as well. Like I follow her, but I had never watched her live. I think it's something she does, but you know, because she's in the US, time difference, et cetera, et cetera.
Time difference, yeah.
Hey, let the single breathe. Eh? I opened my Instagram to check for her page. Look at what I saw.
Hey, somebody's washing. Ooh, okay. She washing his beard. Oh, it's cute though.
Let the single breathe. Let me go and share it in the book club so I don't insult. Anyway, so back to what we're talking about. Let me check for her
audiobook.
IG name. I think it's Black Girl Tired Book Talk and Reviews. And she had a live with an audiobook narrator.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the narrators who does spicy books.
Oh, God.
Hey. And already his voice is amazing, eh? He looks good, too. His voice is just... But then, like, there were moments when they were discussing the different books he narrates, you know, how he knows to do what. And then he would just say, for example, then he would slip into his narrator voice for a particular character.
Ooh,
and it's
ooh, that, I don't know. How did she handle it, the poor girl?
Her face was just like this. Then she'd be like, phew.
Oh, gosh.
Phew. And then she actually asked him that, does he have fans who like take it a little too far? He's like, well, sometimes they start to see him as the character, and you know that readers, we fall in love with characters. Now if you know that there's the person voicing him, you will say that is him, but he tells them,
like,
you know,
actors,
I'm
isn't it?
Happily married, his wife is also a black belt. If you don't want to be killed, don't go near
him. I've just been looking at his page, and yeah, he's cute. He's cute.
Did I share it with you? Did I share his page with you, or
you
found
it with
him
the
on?
You shared it with the group. Look, but I don't know. The thing is, hearing men read spicy books is so uncomfortable for me.
Like, but hearing women is okay.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I think it's not uncomfortable. It's more like, okay, now I don't know what to look like. Are you the guy? Are you an actor? It's just so. I just saw another video where of two white guys reading a spicy book and like expressing their shock at that women are reading these in public with straight faces, and just hearing them say the words and that he slipped his finger here, and I'm just like, oh god, and they turn so red.
Isn't the hockey people? There's some hockey. Team
Maybe the hockey people.
Stinky Pinkies or something.
No. This is a different podcast. Guys. They get so red and sweaty. Maybe they need to practice by reading it more in front of the mirror or something. Just get themselves calm.
Yeah. And you know, so I haven't listened to an audiobook in a while, but so when I found that Merry Little Meet Cute was available, I started listening to it. I haven't gotten to any spicy scenes yet, so I'm wondering if I'll be able to handle it, but it's not an easy thing.
Yeah, I think generally the hearing spicy scenes read aloud is a little more uncomfortable than reading it.
Yes.
But to be fair, even hearing like sweet, cozy scenes, well, it's not uncomfortable, but I think it has more of an overwhelming effect.
Yes.
Than reading it. So there's something to be said for reading things out loud in general.
Yes. So
sometimes
usually
when I'm reading and my husband feels like I'm too distracted, like I'm not paying attention to him. He says, okay, read what you're reading out loud to me. I'm like, sir, you don't want me to read this out loud to you.
Okay, so that's on audiobooks. We haven't even gotten into what we are reading. Today, you guys, we are really giving you a gift because it's going
it's Christmas
to be...
after all.
But I just saw this post somebody shared of a mom, I think there's a Ghanaian mom, who's trying to get her daughter
yes.
to read. And she's, you know, begged, she's down, and then suddenly she had a light bulb moment where she's like, why don't I offer a reward to this girl? every book she finishes. And she decided to start with 100 Ghana. Hey!
That's a lot.
And then I saw the book she recommended. I'm like, do you want this girl to read at all? Or you just don't, you don't
I don't
want to
know
pass
why. Because she herself says she likes to read. So I don't know. Then now it makes me question, what is she reading that was the first book she suggested? I was feeling like, oh, a kindred spirit. But after that recommendation, I'm looking at her side-eyed. Like, ma'am, what are you reading? 48 Laws of Power?
It was such a disappointment. Of all the books in the world. I don't know how old her daughter is, but it sounds like her daughter is young. Ruby Goka has a lot of books.
So many books.
Hannah
Beatty.
Elizabeth Irene Beatty.
Yes.
And there's Mamle Wolo's book for the Kaya Girl.
These secondary school books that I used to be. Dorothy Kumsen?
No, Dorothy Kumsen is an author, but I think, are you thinking of the lady who used to work at Graphic.
Not Peggy Opong.
Not Peggy Opong. Oh, okay.
No, I think it's Dorothy Kumsen. Dorothy, whenever I read her books, they give me Wussy Girls vibes.
Dorothy Kumsen? No.
I'm not Dorothy Kumsen. Is this, she's a Ghanaian writer. Maybe not Dorothy Kumsen.
Because Dorothy Kumsen writes adult fiction.
I'll try and find this one. It's not Dorothy Kumsen. It's not, or maybe it's Elizabeth Irene Beatty.
Yeah, because her books are set in boarding school.
Maybe I'm mixing them up then. I could have sworn I read an Elizabeth Kumsen book, Dorothy Kumsen book as well.
Like, there's a whole bunch out there.
I wonder how... 53?
Who?
Elizabeth Irene Beatty, she's 53 years old.
Interesting. Why? Do you think she's old or...
Yeah, young? I thought she was much younger.
Girl, do you know how old we are? You read this one.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's her books I've been reading. The 12th Heart is one of them. It's Elizabeth Irene Beatty I was talking about.
Look, we are not children, we are
as
old.
Discussed earlier in this very episode. We are young,
young at heart,
young at heart,
and in
female.
Face actually, and in face.
Yes.
Hey. But
this man could have recommended any of these people, and Rich Dad Poor Dad was her first option. She's setting the girl up to fail. Maybe she wants to keep her hand raised to Jesus.
Yes,
and
because
say, you don't like reading. I knew it.
No, why?
I was even thinking, even if you don't know these Ghanaian books, the classics, Little Women,
Oliver
Pride and Prejudice,
Twist,
Oliver Twist.
I was so disappointed.
I suggest nonfiction. There's much better nonfiction than Rich Dad Poor Dad, which, although I'm sure is a useful book, it's just very. It's a bit. It's not exciting, you know. Like, I would have suggested this book by what's his name? This British nonfiction author. He has mad hair. Like, his hair is flying over his head. Blink.
Yeah.
Have you read Blink? What's his name?
Who? Roald Dahl?
No, he's a nonfiction author. And he's, oh, I have this book on my shelf. I have to go look at it. He also did Something Point. I keep forgetting. His name is right there, tip of my tongue. He reminds me
Malcolm
a lot
Gladwell.
Of Malcolm Gladwell. That's his name, yes. Do you think he's black? Or,
no,
or he's mixed
white.
Or something?
I think he's... Is he even... I think he might be Jewish or...
He's not mixed? Did I read wrong?
No.
Okay. I could have sworn he was mixed with something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
anyways.
We haven't talked about what we are reading.
Okay, what we are reading is so I started. Okay, so let me take a look at it. I finished what book did I finish just before that one? I've forgotten now. I was because my mind goes immediately to the next book, but I was reading Tessa Bailey's Same Time Next Summer. Same time next year, sorry. Same time next year. Her newest novella. Mm-hmm. And on a normal day, I'm a big Tessa Bailey fan. I enjoy her thoroughly. Mm. But I think it's being a novella maybe took something away from her usual style and ability to maybe properly develop. And I did see that she had that, that was the word, disclaimer on her page that look, it's a novella, you won't get as much development as you want, and so they kind of like just deal with it.
I
enjoyed it, but it felt a little rushed. Like it felt a little bit like the intensity of the feelings they were having, although she explained it as being, oh, they've known each other for about a year but they hadn't been dating, and it was a marriage of convenience type thing. It would have been easier if either it was a longer book or it was a friends to lovers. So it was kind of like friend, like he knows him, he's in her space, but they're not like close friends or anything. It was kind of like, oh, he plays hockey with my brother, my half brother, and then next thing you know, it's a major convenience hockey. So I just finished that. I towards the end, I was just trying to get through it because I've started it and I like Tessa Bailey, so I want to get to the end. Like it didn't capture me as much as her books normally do, but I'm looking forward to the one that comes out in, I think, February, one about Go. Can't wait.
Yeah, you mentioned
and I just read Go, Charlie. I also read the Rom-Con by Devin Daniels before I read this one. Loved it. Devin always outdoes herself. It was so good. It was a single POV, which usually I don't love, but that's what Devin Daniels does. But I enjoyed it so well. And yeah, I liked the way she fixed the conflict, the third act breakup, and how vulnerable she made everybody. Usually, you know, it's the men that do the grand gesturing, which is what happened in this book as well. But I like the way that she also accepted the grand gesture and forgave so easily. And sometimes, like, just let love be love, you know? It's not every day stretch the guy. Sometimes just let us all be happy. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. And before that, I had just read Forget Me Not. Oh, Julie Soto. So good. Forget Me Not was so beautiful. It's intense. I think I enjoy male characters that are in touch with their feelings. They are grumpy in their gruff, but they are also very vulnerable when they need to be and are very in touch with their feelings and expressing themselves. I enjoy that so much. And so the characters that I do that often get my heart. I love this so much. It's beautiful. It was a second chance romance. You know how I feel about those.
Yeah.
Shivers. So yeah. I think those are maybe the three I can remember reading so far. I'm going on to Alexis Darius, A Lot Like Adios. Decided that this morning. Looking forward to how that's gonna go. Enjoying it as well. Yeah.
Sounds good.
What about you?
So for me, recently my reading has been a bit sporadic. And actually when I find that my reading isn't like, I'm not reading as much or it's not going as quickly as I would like, I go for an author who never fails me. And I discovered that she has this
Amy, no. And Monique.
Of course. That she had a Christmas book I hadn't read. And that is 'Tis the Season for Passion. Barbie read it and loved it too. She finished it before me. Barbie is so supportive. She's so supportive of everybody's taste.
She was saying she's going to read Praise. Bless her.
But yeah, it took me longer than I thought it would. The past week or two has been, I've been doing a lot, so I haven't been able to focus on reading, but I loved it. As usual, all her men are, very alpha, very strong, and, very protective of their women. This one is actually a single dad romance as well. And,
Twist my arm, why don't
so
you?
it ends with a Christmas wedding. Eh? What did you say?
Twist my arm, why don't you?
No,
You
please,
know how I feel
no,
about
no,
single
no.
dad romances.
Why are you like this? Why are you like this? Me, when I realize a particular author's style is not for me, I don't go back, but you keep trying, like you always want to give them another chance. I admire that about you, but I don't want to put you through it, so no, don't read it. So yeah, that was Tis the
God.
Season for Passion. It's part of a 12 book series. Each of them is like Tis the Season for something. And so that's the theme the
All
story
by
runs with.
Monique or
It's
different
all black.
authors?
No, different authors, different black romance authors. And now I have started Deck the Shelves by Toni Shiloh. And it's
Yeah, I
so
think we talked about
beautiful.
that last time.
I feel like you like this. Like
I did start. I told you, it gave me a good feeling. So I'll go back to it after this one.
It's very sweet. Starts off with, the first scene is in a bookstore. The female main
Saw that.
character owns a bookstore.
Oh,
Oh,
since being
oh. I love this so much.
beautiful.
Yeah. So yeah, but also this week I went on Amazon. They have Kindle deals, and I decided to go and search, and I found this author, Sherilyn L. Rochester Dix, D-I-X, D. But I think she's a Christian romance author as well. And each book is like 80 pages. And so there was a deal for the five books. I thought the cover was so lovely. I am the one. And so I
Like
thought I'll
the
give
one
it a
as in
try.
God is the one, or
In a way, no,
I am
about
that I am.
you being chosen by God, but also, finding the one, something like that. I haven't read it, but that's the vibe it's giving me. So I love the cover. So
We're sold.
we'll see how it goes when I get to it. But yeah. It's been a lot this past weekend. The thing now, when the year is winding up, a lot is happening, so I'm not surprised about all this. Oh, there was something we forgot to talk about.
What's
The
that?
post I saw about one of these authors I follow said, it's problematic that dark romance is so popular because it's promoting misogyny as desirable. And
Dum-dum-dum.
I feel like all our bookish conversations straddle this. Like, is it okay to read certain things just for fun? Remember that discussion we had about the KKK romance? Like, which topics are taboo and what, like, it's a very thin line, and it also depends on how the author portrays it. But I feel like as an adult, you know that this is wrong in real life. If you are kidnapped by a man claiming to love, you know that is not love.
Oh, please. Yes. Scream
So
cake.
I think the hope is that we are not teaching younger girls who are a bit more impressionable that they should desire this outside of fiction. I
And that
mean,
fiction should remain fiction.
Doesn't mean people shouldn't write these books. Doesn't mean it shouldn't be widely promoted. I don't
What
know.
type of fiction enjoy them? I don't know. I think the thing with writing and art is that as much as often people want to be realistic, also when you're creating fiction, people also just want to create
impossible world that they can have entertainment and, you know, enjoyment out of. We read alien romance. None of us has ever left Earth, at least not unless we're astronauts.
What's your knowledge?
As far as I know, there aren't like tourist spaceships taking people to Mars and things like that. It's not a thing. We don't know if there's life on outside of our planet. It's not realistic, really, to think about there being blue aliens with, you know, dildo-like penises just waiting to...
Waiting for...
just waiting like... for you, madam from Adabraka, to be the one that fixes the problems of the breeding of their you know, their race. We don't expect that. But it's entertaining. It's interesting. We like it. Yeah. And there's always an element of, I guess, reality in it, in the way, say, the characters are. And I don't know if maybe we should be doing more to distinguish and to draw that line between fiction and reality. That, yes, he's a kidnapper. That's wrong. But he makes her breakfast in bed. That's right. You know, just like, it's a line.
yes.
She may be his kidnap victim, so her fall in love with him is Stockholm syndrome. But what did he do to deserve the love? it's a balance, and maybe there should be more conversation around the impact of fiction. Are we really expecting that people are reading fiction and learning life lessons from them, or are they just reading for fun? And if they're learning life lessons, what are we hoping to teach, and how are we distinguishing the things we want them to take away as good and the things we want them to keep in mind as no, that's not happen, should not happen, red flag?
Yeah.
That's a conversation that should be continually had as younger people start to read books like this, because these might be their classics, you know, these dark romances. Lord have mercy.
It's an ongoing conversation, but
so is it misogyny? Is it misogyny?
I feel like it depends on how it's portrayed. You know, a lot of these authors will put trigger warnings. Some will even
tell
you that
this is what it is.
It's like saying people shouldn't do stunt shows because people will copy. They'll start the show with, don't try this
at home.
Proceed to do dangerous things. They've warned you already. They've warned you. Yeah. So it's not their fault if you feel like, oh, I can also do it.
I know this one.
You won't survive. So please don't try.
Literally. So I suppose what we are saying is read romance, but don't try this at home.
Yeah.
For the most part. We need to make a list of things not to try at home, like shower sex. We heard from a listener.
You can't use that one. That's... people will come for us. Look, people love that thing.
So are we saying try shower sex at home or not? There has to be a table. Try at home, don't try at home, the romance version. Honestly. Beach sex, definitely don't try this at home.
They are coming for us.
Look, if you say shower sex is good and should be tried at home, send us a logistics list. Take us through play by play. Where do your legs go? I need to understand, you understand, the administrative bits of this thing.
Oh boy.
There's soap involved. Are we sitting or standing? There's so many questions.
I don't even look, let's not get into this conversation. Because you have people coming for us. Okay. But maybe we'll do that. We'll compile a list for the next episode.
Yep.
And see what you guys
think.
Don't
write it to home list.
Okay.
We finally come to the end of this long, long episode.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed it. Let us know your thoughts. Join us on the Black Christmas Romance Read Along, etc., etc. And we'll see you on the next
episode. Merry Christmas. I'll say this every episode this month.
Every week until Christmas. Until New Year.
Until New Year, exactly.
All right. Bye.
Bye.